This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما الحمد لله. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing upon us, we have approached yet another Ramadan, which is just a few days away from us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to really reach that month and reap its benefits. Because this month, this part of the year, is so unique that there is no other time of the year which is similar to it. It brings so many benefits and so many blessings which a person cannot find at any other time of the year. When a person fasts in this month, when a person stands in prayer at night in this month, then all of his previous sins are forgiven. Imagine, his entire slate is wiped off. It is clean. It is cleared up. All his previous sins are forgiven. This month is a month of mercy. It's a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, His blessings are visible, are clear to us, are felt by us, are experienced by us every day and every night. Therefore, it is very important that as we approach this month, we are ready for it. We are mentally ready for it, we are spiritually ready for it, so that we can reap its benefits. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His doors are open. He sends down His rain. He showers us with His blessings. But every person does not take the exact same advantage from it. Each person takes from this blessing, from this rahmah, according to his capacity. Just as when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down rain from the sky, then every part of the earth, every part of land, does not benefit from it equally. There are certain parts which benefit from it so much that you can see the soil, it becomes soft. It becomes more fertile. The soil that was apparently dead because it was ready to receive that water, that rain, you see that it's covered with foliage. It's covered with flowers that are blooming, blossoming, fragrant and radiant in their color. But yet, at the same time, that same rainwater will fall elsewhere, but there will be no effect of that water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives Ramadan to all people who are alive on the earth at that time. But everyone does not take the same advantage from it. There are those who find this month, and by the end of it, they have earned Allah's forgiveness. And there are others who find this month, but by the end of it, they haven't received the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their sins are the same. In fact, they have increased. Why? Because they did not understand the value of this month. They did not benefit from it. In Surah Yusuf, we learn about how Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was thrown in the well by his brothers, and the caravan came, and they found this boy in the well, and they took him out. They just hid him, they concealed him as a commodity, and they sold him for just a few dirhams. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them that وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They were of those who had no interest in Yusuf alayhi salam. They had no interest. They could care less about him. Little did they know that this boy was one day going to become a prophet of Allah. One day he was going to be the minister of Egypt. If they knew his value, they would not have sold him just for a few dirham. They would have given more importance to him. They would have given more value to him. So we see that in order to reap, in order to take maximum advantage of any opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends our way, first and foremost, what is necessary for us is knowledge and awareness. Knowledge and awareness. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person knowledge and awareness of an opportunity, then he can take a lot of advantage from it. But besides knowledge and awareness, another very important thing is preparation. Pre-preparation and planning from before. Because each person receives the same amount of time every single day. 24 hours. But there are some people who manage to get a lot done in those 24 hours, and there are others who just waste that whole day. The difference lies in planning. You may have experienced this yourself also. The days that you are working, you get up on time. You get to do your work also. You come home and do your laundry even. You even cook a lot. But on weekends, what happens? We get up late, we take it easy. And by the end of the day, when you ask yourself, so what did I get done today? You realize that you hardly got anything done. What was the difference? The planning. For certain days, we have our entire day planned out. And for other days, we don't have planning done at all. If you've planned your trip to the mall, within an hour you can accomplish a lot. And if you haven't planned it, then you'll enter one door and you'll be going from one bar to the other, looking for things to do. And by the time you realize where you are, you find out that you've got barely half an hour left. So in order to take advantage, two things are important: knowledge and awareness, and secondly, planning. And this is the reason why, alhamdulillah, we have gathered today, to remind ourselves of the importance of this month, the virtues of this month, the opportunities that this month brings us, so that we can take the maximum benefit from it. And also, so that we can prepare ourselves mentally and otherwise also, so that we can take the maximum advantage from this month. Now, with regards to the month of Ramadan, we learn from a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا كَانَ رَمَضَانُ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الرَّحْمَةِ, that when the month of Ramadan comes in, then the gates of mercy are opened up. فُتِّحَتْ, they're opened up wide. Allah's mercy is in profusion, is everywhere. Everyone is welcome to come and take a share of it. And everyone is welcome to come and take as much as they want from it, because the gates of mercy are opened. In another hadith, we learned that when the month of Ramadan begins, then a caller calls out, يُنَادِي مُنَادٍ يَا بَغِيَ الْخَيْرِ أَقْبِلْ. A caller calls out that, O seeker of good, come forward, rush. Anyone who wants good, speed up, come forward, come and take your share, hurry. Don't delay, don't wait. Keep going and keep reaping, keep collecting for yourself. يَا بَغِيَ الْخَيْرِ أَقْبِلْ وَيَا بَغِيَ الشَّرِّ أَقْصِرْ. And O seeker of evil, stop. O seeker of evil, stop. Yes, you have been doing a lot of wrong things before, but now the month of mercy has come. The month of blessings has come. So stop. So we see that in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special help is there for those who want to do good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is there for those who want to keep away from sin. Because the doors of Jannah are opened and the doors of hellfire are closed. The doors of Jannah are open, meaning the ways that lead to paradise, they're public, they're everywhere. So many opportunities to do good in order to make it to paradise. And the doors of hellfire are closed, they're shut. Meaning, there's the opportunity to sin is reduced. And we experience this in the month of Ramadan. That because there's an atmosphere of worship, of reciting the Quran, of qiyam, of standing in prayer, then what happens is that it becomes easy for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On regular days, it might be difficult for us to, you know, do some dhikr in the morning, read our morning adhkar, or read our evening adhkar, to sit, you know, with our hands out and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It might be difficult for us, or we don't even remember. We know that we're supposed to, and we perhaps even intend to, but we're so frazzled with all the things that are going on that we don't get the opportunity. But alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, everyone around us seems to be encouraged to do more good, and that is a motivation for us also. So doing good is facilitated for those who want to do good in the month of Ramadan. And committing sin is made difficult for those who want to abstain. And also the shayateen are locked up. Shayateen are locked up. So that again, the ways of goodness are made easy and the ways of sinning are made difficult. And remember that unless and until Allah's tawfiq is there for a servant, meaning unless and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the ability and the opportunity to a servant to do something good, no one can do good. But Allah gives tawfiq only to those who strive, only to those who put in effort. So really, at the end, it's up to us. How much is it that we strive to benefit from this part of the year? To earn forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make our home in Jannah, and to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. So in order to take advantage of this time, one of the first things that we need to do is do some pre-planning. Before the month actually begins, do some planning. And part of that is mentally preparing ourselves as well as our family members. Now, alhamdulillah, we have come here together today, and inshallah, we will remind one another about the virtues of this month, about the different things that we can do in this month. But our families at home, what about them? What about our husbands, our children, our siblings? Make sure that as you prepare yourself, prepare your family also. Share with them at least one or two things, so they're also motivated to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Because you see, worshiping Allah alone by yourself is very, very difficult. But when you have people with you, if your husband also sits after Fajr and opens up the Quran, how likely is it that you're going to go to bed? You'll also be motivated to sit and open up your Quran and do some recitation. If after Salah, your son or your daughter or your sibling sits down and does her adhkar, then you are also more likely to do your adhkar. So it is necessary that as we prepare ourselves, also prepare our family members. And alhamdulillah, there's so many lectures out there, there's so much material out there that we can revisit, we can listen to, we can read as a family in order to remind ourselves of the benefits of this month. Also, in order to make fasting easier and in order to focus on ibadah, one more important thing that we must do is get all the important, you know, tasks out of our way. So for example, if you have your major Costco trip to do, don't wait for the first day of Ramadan. Do it now. If you have your Eid shopping to do, do it now. Don't wait for Monday to go for groceries. Go over the weekend. Go before Ramadan actually begins. So that you're not, you know, extremely tired right at the beginning of the month of Ramadan. Get these things out of the way. Make sure that your house is clean, things are, you know, put in place so that during the month you're doing just the bare minimum in order to get by so that your fasting can be good and your ibadah can also be enjoyed. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ramadan has come to you, a blessed month. Allah has made obligatory upon you its fasting. In it, the gates of heaven are open, and the gates of hellfire are closed, and the evil devils are chained up. To Allah belongs a night in it, which is better than 1,000 months. Whosoever is prevented from its goodness, then he has been deprived. If a person does not take advantage from the special night of this month, then he is deprived. And a person cannot take advantage of the special night of this month unless he has taken advantage of every day of this month, every night of this month. What we learn from this hadith is that the month of Ramadan is primarily the month of fasting. And we all are aware of that. Ramadan means fasting for us. That is something that we are preparing ourselves for, especially for this year, we're mentally preparing ourselves that yes, the fasts are going to be long, yes, the days are long, we're going to be tired, the nights are going to be short, the tarawih is going to be very late, but we keep telling ourselves, inshallah you'll do it, inshallah you'll be able to do it, don't think about it right now, when it comes, then we'll deal with it, it's okay, you survived last year, hopefully you'll survive this year also, right, inshallah. But what will make fasting easy for us, inshallah, this year, is if we remember the rewards of fasting. Yes, fasting is an obligation. It is something that we don't really have a choice about. We don't have a choice about that. We have to fast. It's something that is fard upon every able believer, every able person. He has to do it. So when you have to do it, you might as well do it with good feeling. You might as well do it with a good heart. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan, how? with iman and with ihtisab, with faith, faith in Allah, faith in the fact that yes, fasting is an obligation, not as a habit. Because for many people, fasting in the month of Ramadan is a habit. That every year when the season of fasts comes, then yes, that's what we do, we fast. That's what we Muslims do. But why do we do it? We're doing it because we're believers. We believe in Allah. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it mandatory for us to fast in this month. And your doctor may warn you, or somebody might discourage you, or your friends or your co-workers might be shocked at the fact that you won't be eating or drinking at all during the entire day. But if you remember that I am doing this because my Lord has told me, He has commanded me, imanan. And secondly, ihtisaban. Ihtisab is to hope for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to expect reward from Allah. Then his sins will be forgiven. What does it mean by this? Hoping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reward. You see, there are many things that we do as Muslims. We pray, we give charity, we do wudu, we read the Quran, and we eat with our right hand, we say Bismillah, right? After we eat, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're very good habits. And for a Muslim, whatever he does as a believer, inshallah, he's rewarded for that. But remember that the more you hope for reward from Allah, inshallah, the more rewarding that deed will be. The more rewarding that deed will be. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am as my servant thinks I am. So if you hope for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, Ya Allah, I know these fasts are very long and I'm already very scared. I get so thirsty. I don't know how I'm going to survive. I have to eat something every 2 hours, even now. What am I going to do in the month of Ramadan? Remind yourself, I'm doing it to seek Allah's reward. And tell yourself, and speak to yourself, and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it gets difficult. Ya Allah, only for you. I won't do this for anybody. I won't do it for myself. I won't do it for, you know, some kind of blood work. I won't do it for anything. I will do this only for you, Allah, because I want reward from you. Ihtisaban. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ, once he was asked by a companion, that, O Prophet ﷺ, tell me about a deed that will allow me to enter Jannah. Tell me about something that I can do, which if I do, I know that inshallah I'll make it to Jannah. There's so many things that we've been told about. And some things we find difficult, some things we find easy, some things we do already, and some things we don't even know about. So this man, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell me one thing that I can do and it will help me enter Jannah. Would you like to know? Would you like to know about something that you can do so that inshallah you can go to Jannah? So the Prophet ﷺ told him, عَلَيْكَ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا مِثْلَ لَهُ. On you is fasting. Meaning you must fast. Fast as much as you can, because there is nothing like it. There is nothing like it. No good deed that is like fasting. Because you see, any other good deed that you do, what happens? It takes maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe half an hour. Okay, even if you go to volunteer somewhere, half a day, maybe 2 hours. But fasting is from when to when? The whole day basically. Even if you go for Hajj, how many days is it that you have to spend in doing Hajj? Not many. Not many at all. But think about it. Ramadan fasting, 29 or 30 days in a row. It's quite long. So really, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. In another hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that indeed there is a gate of paradise called Ar-Rayyan. Ar-Rayyan. And it will be called on the day of judgment, where are the ones who fast? Where are those people who used to fast? So whoever is among the fasting ones will enter Jannah through Ar-Rayyan. And the one who enters Jannah, he will never be thirsty. So in this Ramadan, during fasting, as we experience thirst, especially when you're reciting your Quran and your mouth is dry, really dry, or you're outside walking in the heat of the sun, and your mouth is dry and you want to take just one sip of water, remind yourself of this. If I fast for the sake of Allah, inshallah, Allah will make me so satisfied that I will never ever experience any thirst. There is a scholar, in his book, Fiqh al-Qulub, he writes that الدُّنْيَا دَارُ الْحَاجَاتِ وَالْجَنَّةُ دَارُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. He writes that this world, this dunya, is a place of fulfilling your needs. Just the basics. You know, you just fulfill them because you gotta do them, otherwise you won't survive. But Jannah is the home of desires. You wanna have fun? You wanna fulfill your desires? Save it for later. Because in this dunya, really, if you wanna drink something, how much can you drink? If somebody gives you a big, huge cup of coffee even, which is your favorite, let's say, after half a cup, how much can you enjoy? You know, those first few sips, yes, you really enjoy them, but after some time, you just get so used to it. If you get a nice, cool drink when you're thirsty, like for example, you know, you get a slushy or something, the first few sips, really good, but then after a couple of sips, what happens? You start getting brain freezes, right? The flavor is overwhelming in your mouth. You don't enjoy it anymore. You start having a water bottle, you have a few sips, and then you leave it. Which is why after every event, what happens? You find dozens of water bottles that are half empty, half full. Why? Because you enjoy it a little bit here, but then after some time, the enjoyment dies out. So when we're fasting, we're abstaining from eating and drinking in our desires for the sake of Allah, so that in the hereafter, He will fulfill our desires. He will admit us in a place where pleasure never ends, where enjoyment never ever ends, where you will never get tired. You can never get tired having fun even in Jannah. But the people who fast will be called from the gate of Al-Rayyan. In another hadith we learn about the reward of fasting, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ لَهُ إِلَّا الصِّيَامِ هُوَ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every good deed of the son of Adam is for him, except for fasting. Every good deed of the son of Adam is for him, except for fasting. That is for me. That is for me, and I shall reward the fasting person for it. Meaning that fasting is such a deed that is a secret between the servant and his Lord. You see, when you're praying salah, when you're doing wudu, a person watches you. Can they say to someone, yes, she prayed salah? Can they say that? Can they guarantee that, yes, you prayed salah, you did wudu? Yeah, because they saw you. Right? But if you tell somebody, I'm fasting, can they really guarantee that you're fasting? Because you can abstain from eating and drinking in front of them, but the moment they leave, you could shut the door, get yourself a glass of water, and enjoy. Who knows whether you are really fasting or not? Who knows? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah. No one knows you're really fasting except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why fasting is a deed that is sincerely, exclusively for who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why He will reward the person for it. What is that reward? We don't know. For many good deeds, we have been told what that reward will be. 7 times more, 10 times more, 700 times more. But for fasting, what is the reward? We really don't know. And when is it that a person will find out what the reward is? When he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah will tell him the reward. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this deed so much. When a person is hungry, when a person is thirsty, for his sake he's abstaining from food, from drink, from his basic needs, only to make Allah happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this so much. In a hadith we learned that when a person has bad breath because of fasting, not because his mouth is dirty, but because his stomach is empty, then that smell is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the fragrance of musk. Even more than the fragrance of musk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves every deed of the fasting person, what he does in the state of fasting. In another hadith, we also learn that fasting is a shield. It is a screen. It is a junnah. Meaning, fasting is something that will protect a person from hellfire. It will protect a person from punishment in the grave. It will protect a person from falling down from the bridge when he's crossing it. It is a shield. It is a source of his protection. Because he is sacrificing his food and drink for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned that when a person will be placed in his grave, just think of yourself, when a person will be placed in his grave, all alone, in that darkness, no friend is there, no mother is there, no phone is there, nothing's there, no light is there, he is all alone in that grave. And what is with him? Basically his deeds, and the consequences of his deeds. Then for his sins, the punishment that he deserves, it will approach him from the side of his feet. It will approach him from his right side, from his left side, from the side of his head. But for some people, a shield will come in between and protect that person. And what is that shield? His good deeds. So for example, from the right side, if the punishment is approaching him, his good deeds will become like a shield. You can't come this way. There's no way for you. The punishment will be removed away from him. And recitation of the Qur'an is one of those deeds that will protect a person from punishment of the grave. Salah is one of those deeds. Sadaqah is one of those deeds. And fasting is also one of those deeds. As-siyamu junnah. Fasting is a shield. And you know, especially in this month of Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to see it. If you're feeling really tired and really thirsty, and sometimes, you know, our nafs also, it makes us think negatively about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you might wonder, why do we have to fast? And why is it so difficult? Why isn't our religion so easy? Remind yourself, I'm just going to strive right now, I'm suffering right now, so that I can be protected later. I'm sacrificing right now, so that I can be saved later. Now when it comes to fasting, it begins with as-suhoor, and it ends with iftar. It begins with suhoor, with the pre-dawn meal that we eat, and it ends with iftar, which is after sunset, then we break our fast. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said that three things are from the traits of prophethood. Meaning there were three things that every prophet did. They're from the akhlaq of nubuwwah. And what are those? To hasten in iftar. Meaning, as soon as a time enters to break the fast immediately. To delay the suhoor. This doesn't mean that you delay it like with an hour or something, no. Meaning, you eat suhoor as late as possible. As late as possible. And to place the right hand on top of the left hand in salah. So these three things the prophets did. This is from the ways of the prophets of Allah. So we see that eating suhoor and breaking your fast as early as possible, meaning immediately, this is actually something that we must pay attention to. Because unfortunately for some people, what happens is that they want to get their sleep. So they will eat in the night and they will just sleep. And they won't care about getting up for suhoor. And they will just sleep through Fajr even. And they'll get up at like 10, 11 or maybe even 12 o'clock because they are on their vacation. Right? And then they will get up and watch some TV and maybe, you know, do something. Just basically they're killing time. Ramadan, when we're fasting, we're not supposed to be killing time. We're supposed to be taking advantage of every single moment. Because suhoor even, when a person gets up in order to eat suhoor, even in that is reward. Can you imagine we would be rewarded for eating at an odd hour of the night? Who would pay you for that? Which, in a workplace, would pay you for that? Reward you, pay you for eating. You get your lunch break, but that's also because it's your legal right. Right? But other than that, think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding people for having their suhoor. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, have the suhoor meal. Eat it. Eat the suhoor. Because in it is much blessing. فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةٌ. In it is blessing. And this is so true. Because in regular days, if you've just had your breakfast and then you don't get to have your lunch, what happens to you by dinner time? You have a headache, you're extremely irritable, you feel like you're going to collapse. But what happens in the month of Ramadan? For 30 days in a row, you're surviving for the whole day based on what? Just one meal. One morning meal. Every morning. And that also very, very early morning. There's barakah in it. The Prophet ﷺ called it the blessed food. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, this suhoor is a blessing that Allah has given to you, so do not leave it. It's a gift that Allah is giving you. Don't leave it. It's a gift, so take it happily. Likewise, he said, you should make morning meal compulsory upon yourselves. Meaning, make sure you have your suhoor. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ emphasized that even if it's just a sip of water that you can have it. Because sometimes it happens that we don't, you know, wake up on time and we realize there's literally just a minute left, or the adhan is going on our alarm clock or something like that. And there's, you know, a minute or something left, then what should you do?